It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What up? We are back. Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network, as always. Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Adam Pfeiffer here. No D-Bro again today. The guy's just bailing on us, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he doesn't like the guest that we have on today. But continuing our positional previews today with the wide receivers, we broke down running backs and quarterbacks earlier in the week. You can check those episodes out. They're up everywhere you can find this podcast. But today, doing the wide receiver position, and per usual, it's pretty deep. So had to bring on my guy, man, Elliot Christ, the head honcho over at FTN. Everything, FTN Network, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. He is doing incredible things for us on the site. Elliot's been amazing since I started working for FTN, so always happy to have Elliot on. Elliot, thanks for coming on, dude. What's up?
Yeah, Adam, I appreciate you. I loved your article that you just dropped today. You talk about a fantasy-relevant player of all 32 teams with some analysis, so that was fantastic. I appreciate the kind words, and I'm really excited for what we're about to launch here in the next week or two, where we basically have every data point that everyone loves to pull or have premium stats of or constantly searching for on the website with filters and conditional formatting and searchability and all that kind of stuff. So we're building out something pretty amazing that I cannot wait to launch to the public, and, you know, pumped to come on and talk wide receivers with you.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Like I tweeted it, and I've been like, it's been on my mind. Like, I'm just really, really, really happy to be a part of this. And you just see everything, right? The FTN Twitter accounts tweeting out these stats every day, and it's just giving you a little bit of a taste of what's to come in terms of all the great content and stats and everything that we're going to have available. Not to mention, you know, not even just the football stuff, but like our daily team, like David Jones is taking everything down, and he's been incredible all year. Javi, Kyle Murray, just the team. I can't even sit here and just go through every single incredible person on this team because it would take the entire length of the podcast, but it is truly something special.
Yeah, the only thing deeper than NFL wide receiver is FTN squad, right? Basically.
Seriously.
Yeah, but we've got a ton of talent. We just added Gil as well over on FTN Bets, who's got a tremendous track record betting basically every single sport. The man has a winning track record betting the Oscars, so just an absolute loaded team. Website continues to develop tools, talent, data. I don't really think there's many sites out there that compete with it, but there are not many podcasts that compete with yours either, man. So I'm pumped to be here, and I love getting a chance to talk football with you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's do it, man. Let's go through these receivers because there's a lot to talk about. And basically what we did for the quarterbacks and running backs is we go through kind of, you know, a handful of tiers. So I think it's kind of the best way to look at each position and kind of just go through the players that may or may not stand out, the position as a whole, and then towards the end go through some players that we think could make that jump into the higher tiers that currently aren't there now. So, for instance, you know, for quarterbacks, we talked about some of the rookie quarterbacks that when they get, you know, the chance to play in fantasy, could they take the jump into that, you know, maybe top 12? Same with running backs. And we'll do the same for these receivers. But let's start with the high end. And it's a little bit different right now because, you know, with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, assuming he's there, Davante Adams is clearly in tier one. You can make the case he's still in tier one or tier two without him. But, you know, I'm gonna put this as right now, assuming Rodgers will play for the Packers. And my tier one is Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, and Stephon Diggs. You can put DeAndre Hopkins there if you want. Totally fine with that. But that's my tier one. What do you think among the elite receivers in terms of who should be in tier one?
Yeah, I mean, Adams, like you said, is coming off an absolutely elite season with Aaron Rodgers. That's his guy. There's very little target competition there. I know they added Rodgers in the third round, but that might be the only A. Rodgers that plays for the Packers this year, which is the major concern for me. Tyreek Hill is attached to that Chiefs offense and really started to get the locked-in targets with him and Travis Kelce on a weekly basis. And, you know, Mahomes had a great year last year, but I actually just bet him over 4,700 passing yards, which he went over last year as well. Now there's the extra game. But you look at basically they remember that they are a passing team in week 8 against the New York Jets. The first 7 games of the season, they averaged 34 pass attempts. The final nine games, they didn't have a single game with less than 34 pass attempts and averaged 44. So Hill and Kelce being target monsters with attached to Mahomes is everything. I've got Hill, Diggs, Hopkins, Adams as my tier one. Yeah. I think Ridley is right on the outside looking in. But frankly, like if I got Stephon Diggs over Tyreek Hill, I'm thrilled still, right? Like, I think Tyreek Hill has the most touchdown upside of anyone with if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this year or play someplace else. And my concern is that if I was the Green Bay Packers, it'd be pretty easy. I would fire the GM and have Aaron Rodgers be my quarterback. But yeah, what the hell? It's going to be really tough to out petty Aaron Rodgers, right? So that's my concern with that one. Obviously, you're getting a discount on Adams if you do get him here, and we've seen
that's the receivers thing, man. Goes on, and a lot of people in their home leagues, you know, they draft some people, and it's not smart, but they draft a little bit earlier. And if this keeps going, and Davante Adams falls to like the third round, which and you know in underdog drafts and stuff like that, he's going in like the mid second and third in a lot of drafts. Like that could be the steal of the draft if Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden one day just says, "All right, let's knock this off. I'm coming back. Let's run it back and try to get a championship in Green Bay." I mean, we know what the numbers he's going to put up. It's kind of ridiculous. And I agree. Like, I should probably have Hopkins in tier one. I just hate how they used him last year. Like, they just let him play. They'd line him up one side of the field, and that's it. Like, move him around more. I don't love Cliff Kingsbury as a coach or a play caller, but obviously, like, if this keeps going, you can make the case to just switch Hopkins and Adams if Aaron Rodgers isn't in Green Bay. But for tier two, you know, outside of Hopkins, who I think can easily be in tier one, I have Calvin Ridley, like you said, and then these two, I think they belong in this tier, but I think a lot of people in the industry don't have them here. I have Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas. I think Keenan Allen is like just as safe as it comes. I mean, you look at his per game numbers with Justin Herbert last year, and remember there was two games where he didn't even play a ton of snaps. It was the one game, it was the Monday night game against the Saints. He left in like the first or second drive, so that made the numbers look a little bit worse. Like they could have been even more massive. The target share was through the roof. Like, I just think Allen and Michael Thomas are two players that can easily see a 30% target share this season. And I have them in tier two. I understand like some of the younger receivers like AJ Brown and Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, you might want to put in this tier. But for me, I'm getting Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas in pretty much every draft I can right now. So what do you think of those two with Calvin Ridley? Because I don't think we're going to disagree. I think Ridley definitely has a higher ceiling than those two guys. But what do you think of tier two?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Thomas for me would move in a tier one if Jameis Winston was for sure the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he supported Mike Evans, the top eight fantasy wide receiver, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And then Chris Godwin was wide receiver two overall, right? I think Evans was a top 12 receiver that year as well. There is no, like, I don't think there's a team whose drop off from wide receiver one to the rest of the team is greater than Michael Thomas.
Yep.
Like, I know Adams is way better than Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard, even though Robert Tonyan, or Tonyan, I hate that guy doesn't know how to pronounce his own name. you know, he was one of the better tight ends in all of football last year. But, like, we're talking about Adam Trautman and Tre'Quan Smith. Like, Michael Thomas we saw when he was healthy, you know, and I know people like to give him crap for just being a slant receiver, but this man had 67 more points than the next closest receiver in half point PPR score. Yeah. Like Michael Thomas is just, he's locked and loaded for a ton of volume. And even if Taysom Hill wins the job, which right now James Winston's minus 280. So he's got about a 70% implied probability according to FanDuel Sportsbook. So, but even if it's Taysom Hill, he's still going to get a ton of work. We know he's dynamite at home. He gets all those dome games. It's not a great secondary in his division, right? I think Michael Thomas is absolutely slept on. Keenan Allen is one of these guys that every year people will talk about he's injury prone and he kind of falls in drafts. This year he's falling less because people like Herbert more than they've ever liked a Chargers quarterback, right? Even exactly. Though Rivers has been good. Allen is right in that next tier with me, and I think that tier is very big. Like A.J. Brown was in this tier before Julio Jones went there.
Absolutely.
DK Metcalf, I kind of prefer – and this is kind of like a cop-out answer, but I think it's a real thing in best ball, both him and Tyler Lockett, because of the play volume concerns in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an absolute monster, right? And Justin Jefferson, you know, if he takes a year or two leap in any form or fashion, he was damn near the rookie of the year. Like, he is an incredible football player. Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, Terry McLaurin. Like, I just think there's a lot of guys in that range that are absolute studs, which is why, I mean, it's a dream for me when I get a top two pick and I'm able to go Christian McCaffrey, Antonio Gibson, Michael Thomas. I just think that's such an amazing start for both the floor and ceiling for your team.
I was doing one yesterday with my buddy, and I think he had the 105 and took Zeke and then followed it with Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen. Like, it's, you should not be able to start a team like that, but given some of the circumstances, you can. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, Michael Thomas had a 30% target. Like, even if Taysom Hill's the quarterback, Michael Thomas still had a 30% target share with Taysom Hill. I think Taysom Hill was a lot better as an intermediate passer than people think. Like, his deep ball is not there. But again, if he's starting and you're in Sean Payton's offense, you're not throwing the ball. You know, you're not going to have a high average of the target. Like, it's, I know Breeze isn't there, but like, they're not going to have Taysom Hill sling the ball 20 yards down the field. They're going to play to their strengths, which is Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara in the intermediate routes. So, and Michael Thomas is going to score touchdowns. So, like, he didn't score until what, the playoff game, I think. Like, he's going to score.
He wasn't healthy until the playoff game, right? Like, I mean, his ankle was shot the entire year. Mm-hmm. He kept trying to force it to come back. And also, like, I know Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he was washed last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he was.
I don't care if it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. I actually think it's
Drew Brees. At best, last year was like the 18th best quarterback in the NFL, just based off how he played. Like, that's where his skill level was at that point of his career last year. So, yeah, I love getting, like, they're two of the best values. And I could have, in that article you mentioned that I wrote, the top value from each team in the NFL, like, I could have put Keenan Allen for the Chargers and I could have put Michael Thomas for the Saints, because they are value, in my opinion. I think they're going a little bit too low in that third round. I'm getting them every time. And that moves to tier three, where you start to get to the young receivers. And there's one veteran in here I have, in Allen Robinson, but then it's the up-and-coming stars, or you can just say they already are stars, right? A.J. Brown, who you said, and I agree, if Julio Jones trade didn't happen, he's in tier two easily. He's right there with Calvin Ridley without question. But A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Terry McLaurin, D.K. Metcalf, and Allen Robinson are my tier three. I almost put Amari Cooper in there, but this injury with him, he might miss some of training camp. It's a little bit worrisome. And I just think the upside with guys like A.J. Brown, who I talked about it, even with Julio Jones there, right? This guy, A.J. Brown, has been like the wide receiver 12 and the wide receiver 20 in his first two seasons in the NFL, and he's been outside the top 30 and 40 in targets in both those seasons. Like, even with Julio Jones there, I still think he's in line for a career high in targets. And with how efficient he's been, I mean, he's always been among the league leaders in yards per route run, fantasy points per target. Like, he's elite. So I still think with Julio there, I still have him as a top 10 receiver. So I'm still really comfortable with him. Then you have Jefferson, and Terry McLaurin's the interesting one, because some people look at his overall fantasy finishes and be like, okay, why should he be in this tier? He hasn't really done it, but played through two high ankle sprains last year with a quarterback play that was not aggressive and did not want to challenge the ball vertically. And he still had over 1,000 yards, and he still had, I think it was 70 yards or a touchdown in 10 of or 11 of his 15 games. Like, I think if you give this guy 150 targets, which Ryan Fitzpatrick has targeted his number one receiver at a massive rate throughout his career, he's going to smash. So, tier three, the thoughts on the guys I have there and anybody that you might add or remove from this tier?
No, I think that tier is correct. I mean, I have Keenan Allen in this tier, but A.J. Brown, like, I just want to talk about this Titans offense and how difficult it's going to be to stop, right? Like, because who do you try to take away? Six-man fronts, Derrick Henry's averaged 5.3 yards per carry in his career. Mm-hmm. Versus seven-man fronts, A.J. Brown is averaging 4.3 yards per route run in his career. Like, two – Devontae Adams led the NFL last year at 2.96. And then if you have eight-man fronts, Julio Jones in his career is averaging 4.7 yards per route run and 163 more yards per season than the next closest receiver since he's entered the league.
And by the way, we're both very much Team Julio. Like I get a lot of flack when I say he's one of the five best receivers to ever play, and I don't think people realize that he truly is. Like,
he averages more yards per game than any receiver in the history of football.
Anyone.
And like, what happens if the touchdown regression hits this year because Ryan Tannehill's much better in the red zone than Matt Ryan is?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Julio's lack of touchdowns were rarely a Julio thing. It was a Matt Ryan thing. And remember Steve Sarkisian that one year? He was just awful.
Yeah. Terrible. Not only that, well, because he was probably drunk, right? Like, but with I probably shouldn't joke about that, but it's out there now. I would say the other thing with Julio Jones, like, look at last year. Calvin Ridley was second in the NFL on end zone targets and had 4 end zone touchdowns. Like, Matt Ryan has shown an issue there. I think he completed 47% of his passes in the red zone, where Ryan Tannehill was closer to, like, 63. Now, Tannehill's not elite there, but, like, it's just if we have that touchdown regression with Julio Jones, and we always talk about he doesn't stay healthy, but most years he's playing 14, 15 games, right? And when he plays, he has 3 weeks where he breaks everything, and the other weeks he's got 90 yards. So I just think that – again, this is really an AJ Brown thing, but Julio's right outside this tier for me, and I'm a really big fan of his. McLaurin, like you said, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to feed him targets, and Fitzpatrick's not like this great quarterback, but I don't think we understand just how bad Washington was last year at the quarterback position, right? Like, Dwayne Haskins and Alex Smith were horrendous. And McLaurin actually has a little more help than he's ever had with Curtis Samuel, who's not going to be a target hog, but has enough speed where teams are not going to just be able to shadow and double McLaurin at all times, right? So, and Allen Robinson, hopefully he gets Justin Fields ASAP. But last year, Mitch Trubisky threw to his first read more than any other quarterback in the NFL. The number two quarterback, Andy Dalton. So it's not like Allen Robinson isn't going to be fed targets all over.
Yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson is a lock for, in my opinion, 150 targets. And I listen, Justin Fields is incredible. I love Justin Fields so much. I don't see a scenario where he doesn't start very soon. So you can make the case that Justin Fields is already the best quarterback he's ever played with. So, yeah, I think he belongs in this tier. Then you have Metcalf, who, he could be a top five receiver if Seattle play calling is what it was in the first half when Russell Wilson was the MVP and they were throwing the ball on first down as much as any team in the NFL and they were putting up numbers. Like, we know the ceiling that he has, so I think this tier is loaded. Then you have Justin Jefferson, who, coming off the best rookie season ever from a receiver. I know Debra wrote about how Jefferson could disappoint this year, but I still think he belongs in this tier. He out targeted Adam Thielen. He was, the yardage guy in this offense. Maybe he gets more end zone looks this year. I know that's really been Adam Thielen's game the last couple of years, but there's still obviously a ton of potential with him. Anybody else you want to talk about, or do you want to go to tier four?
I think tier four, right? That's 12 players in the first three tiers, I think we've mentioned. Yeah. Because tier four kicks off for me with Julio Jones.
Yep, he's in tier four as well.
And then it's the two Cowboys receivers, yep. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. And then for me, it rounds out with Mike Evans, DJ Moore, Ja'Marr Chase, and Chris Godwin.
Okay. I had my tier four also has everybody you mentioned, as well as DJ Moore. It does not have the Tampa Bay receivers, but I struggle with them because they are the offense, right, where it's like you just get exposure to Tom Brady, and then you don't have to worry about who it's going to. But, like, Antonio Brown, I wrote about it in the article. Like, he was really involved when he joined the team last year. And, like, he averaged just under 7 targets per game. Like, his targets per game were right up there with Evans and Godwin. I think they've actually been higher than Evans. So, like, I just wonder with a full season with Antonio Brown what this offense looks like for these receivers. I think we know Mike Evans is still going to have these huge weeks, and especially on, like, underdog or something. Like, that makes him – like, I did a draft last night, and I got a Tampa Bay stack, and it's like I'm trying to get exposure to them, especially in that format, but – it's tough to kind of project where you think the ball is going to go on a given game. Plus, their defense is still really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But they're also going to be a pass-happy team, right? Like, that's what they're going to do. Mike Evans did get hurt at the end of the year as well. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown had a good target rate. I felt like they were almost force-feeding him the ball because his snap rate wasn't great.
They were. Evans, 30% of his targets were off screens. It was massive. Like, they were just drawing up screens for him. So it wasn't like he was just, the first read or whatever on every single – well, I guess technically he was, but it was, it wasn't because he was the only one getting open. He was the guy Brady was looking to on third down. Like, it was generated off screens a lot of it. So,
right. And I mean, the thing with Evans for me is just like his consistency. He's going to get you 1,000 yards and probably 10 plus touchdowns. I think DJ Moore is the guy that can jump from this tier to potentially like a top 7 wide receiver.
I can't get enough of DJ Moore.
I mean, last year, what, he was one of three players with eight or more games over 90 receiving yards, 93 receiving yards, right? The other two finished top five. He finished wide receiver 23. You look at it's because he didn't score touchdowns that he was he had a touchdown equity, like in terms of end zone targets on his team, the second highest number in all of football.
It was so bad. It was
like Teddy missed him so many.
The play he got hurt on. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was so tilting. He's wide open in the end zone, and Bridgewater throws the ball like 6 yards behind him, and DJ Moore tries to adjust and adjust towards the football, and he like twisted his leg up. Like, it was brutal.
And I know there's a lot of questions. Well, Elliot, they have Sam Darnold now. Are we sure that's an improvement? Like, I'm actually betting on a little bit of the Sam Darnold goes from Adam Gase to Joe Brady and Matt Rhule, and now goes from Jameson Crowder and Braxton Berrios to DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall, and Christian McCaffrey.
I'm a huge believer in Joe Brady after what he did for Robbie Anderson last year. And I think Terrace Marshall being there, like, that gives DJ Moore a better chance of playing in the slot more. He was only in the slot like less than 30% of the time last year. Like, and he can win deep down the field. He's good, but like, you don't want him just like, give him more of Robbie Anderson's role at times because he's so good after the catch. Like, I just think they're going to use him in a more consistent and in more variety of ways this year, so he's going to be a lot better. And yeah, if he gets more end zone looks, like that's the only thing stopping him from being, you know, in a tier three at least.
It's not even just can he get more end zone targets, because he had a fair amount. It's can they convert them, right? The number of, like we were talking about with the play he got injured on and everything like that. I think his ceiling is tremendous, and you know, wide receiver four and then wide receiver in the fourth round for DJ Moore is just. It speaks to the depth of the position, but also, you know, I just talked about why I like getting early picks with the McCaffrey, Gibson, Thomas build. But I also love getting the end of round one pick, because then I can look at DJ Moore at the top of the fourth round. So he's one of my heavy targets this season.
Then closing it out with the Dallas receivers, really not much to say here, right? I mean, going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL. They were among the league leaders in pace last season. I don't expect that to change. You know, Dak is obviously, when he's healthy, he was great last year. And CeeDee Lamb, I think his snap, like, there was a lot of games where he wasn't even on the field for a lot of the second half. It was really weird. But, you know, anything to add to the Dallas receivers, I mean, we expect them both to be very good.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dak Prescott was on pace to throw for 6,000 yards last season.
Yeah.
And that's not, like, factoring the fact that he only played 2.5 quarters against the Giants.
Right.
I mean, this defense is – and I understand they drafted Micah Parsons. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, they're still not going to be a very good defense. They're going to throw the ball a ton. And his Lamb in the slot is not possible to cover. And we know Amari Cooper has some monstrous games, so – In best ball, obviously it's an incredibly popular stack, but for a very good reason. The Cowboys' upside is just tremendous on offense.
Such a good feeling when you finally get that stack. It's like it's tough to do, but it's very rewarding. All right, let's go to tier five. I have in this tier the two Tampa Bay receivers who we talked about already, and then I have the two Rams receivers, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And then I also have Deontay Johnson, who I'm really high on this year, and Adam Thielen. So I'm definitely lower on Chase than you. You had Chase in tier four, right? We didn't talk about him. I just think he should be going a lot closer to T. Higgins in drafts than he is. And that's why I have them in the same tier, which is, I believe, the next tier. But tier five, what do you think? I have, like I said, two Tampa Bay receivers to talk about, and then the Rams receivers, who I think pretty comfortably belong in this tier. You pretty much know what you're going to get from Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp every year. But this year, we might see some more downfield passing with Matthew Stafford there.
Yeah, I mean, Woods is one of my favorite receivers in football. Yeah, both real life football and
he's the best. I love Marvin Jones, you know that, but Robert Woods has always been like right there for me. You're watching block, first of all.
Yeah, he's incredible at everything he does. He's a route running technician. They scheme him touches right on end arounds and all that kind of stuff. They run behind him. He's just, there's nothing that he doesn't do. He's a legit top 15. Top 20 receiver in the NFL, like real life football, and no one ever mentions him in that conversation. It'll be interesting to see how Matthew Stafford adjusts to that team, right? Because Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp were like best friends, And that definitely is a big reason why Kupp has caught 90-plus balls in every year of his NFL career. I trust Woods a little bit more than Kupp in this situation. They added DeSean Jackson. They added a guy who weighs like 112 pounds and Tutu Atwell. They still have Van Jefferson. It'll be interesting to see how they do, but they're both so consistent. I actually have T. Higgins in this tier as well. So I'm very high on this Bengals offense. Their pass rate over expectation is fantastic. This is a bad defense. They're going to throw the ball a lot. I think someone called them, you know, Cowboys North. Basically, like this is kind of that second 11-based personnel with Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Their offensive line should be improved somewhat, and they can just kind of really attack downfield. I think Chase is an elite rookie prospect. And him and Burrow, like if they connect and they connect on any of that LSU chemistry that we've seen, that he could have an absolute monstrous year. So I'm probably a little bit higher on Chase. One of the things that I do when I do my rankings, though, is I try to actually apply them to like real life drafts. So if you're going to try to actually go for that Bengals stack, I feel like this is how you should do it. And I want people to go for that Bengals stack. So that can like play a role in different things. But I'm with you. Deontay Johnson. That man gets 10 plus targets if he makes it past the first quarter.
Yep.
Like every
game. I think there was the games, what, he either left or the Buffalo game where he got benched. He saw double digit targets in every game other than those two or those couple. So his like targets per route run are like among the league leaders. And like what happens if the efficiency goes up? Like he had what, 14 drops last year? Like he left a lot of fantasy points on the table. I mean, and I don't care about drops. Drops don't impact my rankings or my decision. Like I don't care. If you're getting 12 targets, I don't care if you drop three of them. I really don't. Like, yeah, I'll be frustrated watching it if you're wide open, but like they're not going to just not play Deontay Johnson. I know they did it for one game, but like, yeah, I think he is clearly the guy you want from Pittsburgh. And that's another stack that's it'd be more enticing if the quarterback was a little bit, you know, more enticing in Roethlisberger, but like even with Najee Harris there, we don't expect this team to all of a sudden go from first in pass attempts to like 23rd. Like they're still probably going to be like top seven.
Yeah, no, they may be top five again. You know, Najee Harris is an incredible receiver out of the backfield as well.
Yeah, he's so good.
he really is. Like I kind of miss that we didn't get an opportunity to talk about him. I'm very high on him in fantasy football this year. But you know, to your point about stacking them, you can stack receivers without the quarterback and just get large pieces of that offense and say, well, Ben Roethlisberger has the rushing upside of like an 85-year-old man on who needs the little button, right? When they fall down, they can't get up. Like for me, it's a situation where they're going to throw a ton. Let me see if I can stack Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool or Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster. Like I think that's very viable. I'm big on Johnson. I'm big on Claypool. And honestly, you know, Odell Beckham is in the next tier for me, but we're literally looking at how deep wide receiver is. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about a guy that's gotten 10 plus targets in every game that he doesn't get benched or injured and not being a fringe top 24 receiver.
Yeah. We have the rankings up at FTN Fantasy, which you can check out. Deontay Johnson's rankings for a lot of the analysts that are posting rankings for us, it's kind of interesting where he goes, and not even just for us, but like across the industry. Like a lot of people have him as like wide receiver 15, a lot of people have him at like wide receiver 25, and it's just like if you're getting those amount of targets, like I don't see how you're not at least top 20. So yeah, he's definitely in tier 5 for me. And then Adam Thielen, this time last year I was pretty much the president of the Adam Thielen fan club. Not as high on him this year, just because obviously this time last year, nobody knew Justin Jefferson was going to be what he is now. And like this time last year, you're saying, okay, the only competition he has for targets is a rookie in Justin Jefferson, who at the time wasn't even the number two receiver, because apparently he wasn't, you know, impressing in mini camps, and they had BC Johnson ahead of him. But like that was it for competition targets. Now you have Jefferson's clearly looking like he's going to emerge if not already has as the one. So you're probably going to be relying on Thielen scoring touchdowns again, which he can do. But you know what? In tier five, like he's not going to be bad. He's just not going to be. I don't think he has the upside of a lot of these other guys. But tier six, you mentioned Odell Beckham. He's in tier six for me as well, along with Kenny Galladay, Tyler Lockett, and the Bengals receivers. Two of these players in this tier, I have very little idea what to expect for in 2021, and that's Odell Beckham and Kenny Galladay. What are your thoughts on those two, and what are your thoughts on everybody else that you might have in tier six?
Yeah, I just want to touch on the Adam Thielen thing. I think it's really good, as we're recording this on June 16th, to remember that BC Johnson started ahead of Justin Jefferson, and that lasted, what, a snap in the NFL season? Like, we get way too caught up with how an individual practice went in June because we miss football so much that we start overdrafting or underdrafting players. You know what I mean? Like, money talks more than one individual practice, and also one individual practice is, and how someone did often is one person's opinion. I remember a month ago, we were like, oh man, they're going to make Travis Etienne a wide receiver and he's never going to run the ball. No, they were working on something for a couple days in practice, guys. Let's take a deep breath. Odell Beckham, right? For me, it's one of these situations where everyone's going to say Baker's played a lot better without him. The talent is obviously there. He had that massive game against the Cowboys. We know he's got a big ceiling, and for me, he's one of these guys. I've got a wide receiver 27 overall. There's just a lot of upside there. Kenny Galladay, you know, we Daniel Jones is actually a pretty good deep ball passer. Mm-hmm. His whole thing is health. There's a couple guys in this range, right, where it's like health are the concerns, like Courtland Sutton for me. He's a very similar player to Kenny Galladay in terms of what we're looking for in the fantasy perspective and those big plays. And, you know, who's his quarterback? Is it Teddy Bridgewater, which hurts him? Is it Drew Locke, who throws a yellow ball? Or do they trade for Aaron Rodgers and all of a sudden Courtland Sutton's probably in the top 20, right? I honestly think this is where guys get bunched together in a hurry. I like Odell this year. I think he's going to return well. I think Baker really got his confidence back. They bolstered up that offensive line. And I think Beckham's got a chance to beat his ADP this year.
That's weird. That's got to be the first time you mentioned the Browns offensive line without talking about Wyatt Teller.
Well, I figured this is a wide receiver podcast. I probably shouldn't spend too much time on a guard.
Yeah, but like, it. First of all, doesn't matter. Second of all, we'll be on running backs or tight ends, and I'll bring up Marvin Jones or Josh Allen. So, you know.
Well, it's just a situation, though, where you do look at that Browns offensive line, and it's far and away the best in football.
Yeah. Like, I have to correct D-Bro because he always goes, the Browns offensive line is arguably the best. And I go, no, it's not arguable. Like, it is without a doubt the top offensive line in football. It's not, I don't even think it's close. They're so good. And with Kenny Galladay, like, We talked about Daniel Jones a lot the last couple weeks because we did the NFC East podcast and we talked about quarterbacks on Monday. The thing with him is the offensive line. Speaking of offensive line, he was under pressure just over 40% of his dropbacks last year. And we know when he's under pressure, he's lost. He can't find the pocket. He struggles to get in and out. But when you, like you said, when you give him a good pocket, he actually was top five in adjusted completion percentage on deep passes last year. And that was with Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, who are not anywhere close to the talent, or especially on deep passes, as Kenny Galladay, who's elite in that regard. So Galladay, if you know, you worry a little bit about all the pieces they have in that offense, but he's gonna have some spike weeks if that offensive line can, like I talked about it, they're not gonna be like top 10 or close to it, but if they can just improve like league average or slightly below league average, that'll be absolutely huge for them. Tier seven is interesting because I think Sutton belongs in this tier. I have the other two Steelers receivers in Juju and Chase Claypool. I have the perpetually underrated Robbie Anderson in this tier, DJ Chark and Brandon Ayuk. So a lot of interesting receivers. Anderson was in the article I wrote up. It's free to read on FTN Fantasy, by the way, if you want to check that out. But like, he's going really low in a lot of these drafts. Underdog, whatever. Like he. And I just, Joe Brady just gave me so much confidence with how they used him. And I think he's a little bit too low in terms of ADP, but he still belongs in tier seven for me. Anybody else you have in this tier and thoughts on any of these players? Juju, Robbie Anderson, Chark, Claypool, Ayuk, and Sutton.
I really like Chark. I mean, we've seen his big playability, right? And Trevor Lawrence can unlock it, and he should be the wide receiver one there. I mean, LaVisca is obviously in a good spot too. Not that he's in this tier, but just in terms of going into that slot, that big slot role for Urban Meyer carries a lot of upside. I really like Deebo Samuel. I think he's much closer to Brandon Ayuk than people give him credit for.
So do I.
He's going to get those manufactured touches. And if Trey Lance starts early, which interestingly enough, you know, we like to talk a lot about reports, right, with information. I like to see how the market's reacting to those reports. And when DraftKings moved Trey Lance to become the second favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, to me that's saying someone who knows something thinks he's going to start very early. And so we'll see how much they actually truly open up that offense. The 49ers are a bit of a disaster where they almost have too much talent and not enough passing volume and a question mark at quarterback. Where I'm not like overly excited to draft any of them, though I think Deebo Samuel at ADP is a really good value. Like you said, Robbie Anderson, I'm in on the Panthers. I think this is one of the better cheap stacks in best ball.
Yep.
Where Sam Darnold's your QB3, right? The only expensive piece is Christian McCaffrey. I think everyone else on the Panthers can outperform at their ADP, and you can get that beautiful last round tight end and Dan Arnold, who's, you know, if he actually gets thrown into a full-time role, has an opportunity to produce. So I really like the Robbie Anderson call. I think that's a really solid tier. I'd probably include Tyler Boyd. Again, I'm high on the Bengals. T. Higgins is one of my favorite values in all of fantasy this year.
I didn't want to put like 8 to 9 players in this tier, but you could easily put Deebo Samuel, who I agree, I don't really like Ayuk where he's going, just because he's a great player, but let's be honest, like he had a lot of those huge target games because they were without Kittle and Deebo for a lot of the season. Debo's going, you know, 9 or 10 receiver spots after Ayuk. I think there's a lot of value there, but like you can add Tyler Boyd to this, Deebo Samuel. I think they're all very, very viable, and then for the other players in this tier that we're like Robbie Anderson, I just loved how they used him last year. Like his average depth of target and his yards before the catch perception like were cut in half from his time with the Jets. Like they used him in the intermediate and the slants and stuff, and he was just much better. He's another guy that didn't score. Like he scored the touchdown in week one, didn't score for like 6-7 weeks after that. Like these guys are all probably going to score more touchdowns unless you just think McCaffrey gets them all, which is entirely possible.
But even if he gets them all, he's not going to get
– right.
He's going to get a lot of them on the ground, right? It's not like he's going to catch 13 touchdowns.
Exactly. Going towards the end of these kind of tiers, tier 8, I have guys like Will Fuller, Jerry Jeudy, Curtis Samuel, Laviska Shenault. And then I'm obviously high on Marvin Jones, but like these are some guys I'm really high on in like the mid-40s range. Mike Williams from the Chargers, and then I'm just – in love with Darnell Mooney right now. And I'll add Devontae Smith belongs in this tier as well. Any of those guys stand out to you? Like Darnell Mooney, I'm drafting it. Like I think on best ball, he's the player I've drafted the most on underdog so far this offseason. Like I'm getting him in every draft.
I think Devontae Smith's a good value, right? Just because there's no clear alpha there. And the biggest concern with him is his size. But we're also talking about a guy that's coming off a Heisman Trophy season as a wide receiver, which is absurd in the 10th overall pick in the draft. I mean, Jeff Radcliffe has him projected for 940 yards. He could easily be a 1,000-yard receiver going down. Honestly, I think this is almost where tiers break.
Yep.
Because you could legitimately make an argument for like 20 different dudes in this spot. I love Mike Williams. Like you said, the X receiver in Los Angeles.
Because it's such a concentrated passing offense. It's Eckler, it's Keenan Allen, it's Mike Williams. And Hunter Henry's gone. And it's like, Keenan Allen has not been a huge touchdown scorer throughout his career. Mike Williams is clearly the best target to have in the red zone. And it's not even close.
Yeah, like, no Hunter Henry, right? I mean,
right.
I
think Jared Cook scores some touchdowns, whatever. But like, Mike Williams, and Deebo and I have talked about him a lot lately. He's had two back-to-back really odd seasons. The one year, he had like 1,000 yards and no touchdowns. And then the other year, he had a bunch of touchdowns and very few yards. If he kind of puts those together, and the quarterback play is clearly good in Los Angeles, Herbert's got a big arm. If he puts those seasons together a little bit and stays healthy, I mean, I love that ceiling for him.
Yeah, no, I think Mike Williams is a guy that I'm going to continue to try to get more and more of in best ball, especially. Jarvis Landry is a guy that every year no one wants to draft, and every year he performs like a top 24 wide receiver. I know he's boring, but he's going to get targets, and he's the guy they go to in the red zone and in the end zone. So I like Landry. I think Michael Gallup is an incredibly cheap piece of that Cowboys offense where he's had some monster games with Dak Prescott. And you know, they could be the number one offense in all of football, and I do not mind getting him. One guy that's in this tier, and I have ranked in this tier, but I'm drafting a lot less of, is Brandon Cooks. I know we always like to talk about who we like, but I think sometimes it's important to say why we don't like someone.
Yeah.
I think there's a 0% chance that Sean Watson plays there. Now, he's either guilty and may never play football again, or let's say he is innocent and all that stuff that's happened, and the fact that the lawyer is the Texans owner's next door neighbor and he wanted to be out anyway, and now he thinks that they set him up. What are the odds he actually comes and plays for that team? Zero.
Right.
Like, so you're talking about Tyrod Taylor supporting Brandon Cooks or Davis Mills. Like, I'm out on that situation. And I know people like to talk about how many big years Brandon Cooks has had, but he's had Deshaun Watson and he's had the Sean McVay offense, right? And he's had Tom Brady. Like, it's just a situation for me where I think people are kind of forcing that a little bit. I also think a guy that we continue to disrespect every year is Cole Beasley, who he was one of the best receivers in football last year.
The cover boy for my article.
Yeah, I just he's too cheap for what his production is.
Yeah, like I'm excited about Gabriel Davis as much as anyone, especially in the Bills, you know, fandom. But like Cole Beasley, coming off a career season, he's still the number two target for a passing offense that is going to keep throwing and looks really, really good, obviously. And, like, you can't – like, he torches zone coverage still. He is – like, the last two seasons he's been with Buffalo, he's been, like, wide receiver 27 and wide receiver 34. And all, like, everybody's drafting in PPR now, so it's like – him coming off the board outside the top 50 receivers is very interesting given what he's done. And it's like, yeah, he's not exciting, but like the Bills run four wide as much as anybody, so playing time is not going to be a problem for him. The offense is going to keep throwing because Brian Daboll is the GOAT, and he doesn't care about balance, which I said like a million times in the regular season, and he keeps saying it, and I love it. Like, he's like, we don't care about being balanced just to be balanced. Like, if we're throwing the ball for, you know, 10 yards a pop against you and you can't stop us, we're going to throw the ball 45 times that game. And that's what I love. So, yeah, I like the Beasley call. I think Antonio Brown, too, is like a really kind of similar to Michael Gallup. Like, everybody's going for Godwin and Evans, kind of how everybody's going for Amari and CeeDee Lamb. But, like, Antonio Brown, I mentioned the targets and how he was involved and how they were manufacturing touches for him. He's going really late in this tier. You can add a lot of guys, right? You can add the other rookie receivers, Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman. Like, this is where you kind of say, okay, I like this guy more than some of the other guys. That's why I have Darnell Mooney higher. That's, you know, Marvin Jones. Like, I think you made a good point. Like, this is where tiers really do break. And, like, I just think it just shows how deep the receiver position is.
This to me, this is the get your guys area of the draft.
Especially,
right?
Like, just don't even worry about ADP either. Like, just go get them.
Go get them and look at how your team is built and say, all right, how do I stack? Do I have all high ceiling receivers, right, that have more questionable floors, maybe like Justin Jefferson's, and I want to pair them up with some Jarvis Landry's? Or do I have like Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen's, and I can take a little bit more of an upside swing here, right? Like, I think that's really important when we talk about this tier and this group of receivers. And the further we get down on this list, the less we're in the tier. But like you mentioned, I think Rashad Bateman's got a chance to make a lot of noise in Baltimore. I think Elijah Moore, early reports are that he's an absolute superstar. And that's just been a drumbeat for quite a while. I know they re-signed Jamison Crowder, but even with Crowder on the field, they're saying he's playing outside over Denzel Mims. I think they have big plans for Elijah Moore. Marvin Jones fits that Trevor Lawrence deep ball very well. Rondell Moore is a guy for me. I know you mentioned Darnell Mooney, but how much the Cardinals love to throw screens, I think, from Debro's article about like the 10 stats you need to know before drafting, it was like Rondell Moore had 39% of his college production come at or behind the line of scrimmage, and Kyler Murray was seventh in screen passes last year. We know how Cliff Kingsbury likes to be the horizontal raid offense, so I think he's really intriguing as well.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers for Antonio Brown, and DeAndre Hopkins was like second in the league in receptions off screens too, so it's like you would think if they're going to use anybody in that role more this year, it'd be Rondale. So I like that. I just, like, there's just a lot of like a lot of these receivers too are kind of like post hype guys, right? Like not so much the rookies, but like Paris Campbell, you could tell a story about. Mecole Hardman for sure. Like, I'm willing to have my heart broken again there. Gabriel Davis, I mentioned. Then you have like the secondary Atlanta receivers down here. Let me ask you this though before we get out of here, because we talked about a lot of receivers. We talked about like the top, you know, 8 to 9 tiers, but like if there was a receiver like way, way down that we haven't talked about that you think could make some noise, A couple guys. Who do you think could stand out? Because, like, those are a lot of the points, especially in best ball drafts, where it's like you're looking for that guy that can be the reason that you just, you know, vault up the standings. And, like, there's some guys down here that could make sense.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give you two that seem like no-brainers to me. One is DeMarcus Robinson, and the other is Byron Pringle. Like, Jeff has Patrick Mahomes projected to throw for 5,100 yards. His prop is already 4,700. Like, he's going to – and they throw the ball a ton, right? We talked about that earlier with Tyreek Hill. Robinson actually out-snapped Mecole Hardman in 8 straight games to end the season. Yep. And then Pringle ran more routes than Hardman did when Sammy Watkins missed games. And Pringle apparently has been the receiver after Kelsey and Hill that Mahomes has thrown the ball most to. So I just think that's – those guys, that's such cheap exposure. You're talking about round 17, round 18 in best ball drafts. And, you know, that's like a stack where it's tough for me to get to Mahomes just because I hate taking a quarterback in the third round. But, like, when we talk about stacking up teams and differentiators in, like, a best ball mania where you're trying to get those guys, like – having a Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, you know, adding one or even potentially both of those guys to the offense, like, what happens if it's week 16 and Tyreek Hill misses that week? And now these are the three top options in the Chiefs offense, and no one has, and so few people have that combination. I think those are two guys that really, really attract me at the end of drafts.
Yeah, I've been drafting a lot more, especially Byron Pringle as of late. So I like that call. I'll add, Terrace Marshall for sure, definitely somebody I've been getting a lot, and I just love the fit, and Joe Brady's definitely going to know how to use him, coached him at LSU. And then I'll also add very late Bryan Edwards. I know Debro likes him. There's just not a lot of competition for targets at the wide receiver position, and I know you can say they'll just throw to Darren Waller 12 times a game, but, like, I don't know, like, John Brown has missed a lot of time last couple years. Who knows what Henry Ruggs is going to do in year two. Edwards, you know, he dealt with injuries last year and didn't play a ton of snaps. I think a full year two could be fun for him. And then there was one more player I was going to mention. Actually, I don't. That was it. So, yeah, receivers loaded, clearly. I mean, there was other players we could have even talked about. I just think it's very, like, you can make the case that you can say, okay, just go running back early, and then you'll get receivers no matter what. It's hard not to view drafts that way when you just look at all the receivers we talked about today.
1,000,000,000%. The receiver is so deep, right? And it's why zero running back is such a strategy that makes people uncomfortable, because you get to these running backs and you're like, oh my God, this is gross so quickly. But, you know, zigging where other people zag and understanding that, you know, you can really load up on so many receivers, and that because we're running more 11 personnel than ever before, that it leads to more spread out targets as well. And there's going to be so many big receiver weeks as well. So, like, I'm a huge fan of going to get your guy at the end of drafts, and the Chiefs stack. I love the Terrace Marshall call and that the Panther stack in general. And, you know, sometimes going outside the box and drafting a guy in the last round that isn't really getting drafted elsewhere is also a really smart strategy.
Elliot joining me to talk about the wide receiver position. Follow him on Twitter at Elliot Crist. Elliot, first of all, of course, thanks for coming on. Always glad to talk to you. And tell the listeners, I mean, just a little tease, a little bit of what else we have planned. Like, because, look, we talk about it all the time in the podcast, but and we talked about it with I talked about it when I had Meanie on the podcast. It's crazy to think. I mean, FTN's only been live for what, a year and change? Like, it feels like it's been forever, but, like, what we've done in this relatively short amount of time on top of what we're still going to be doing is, honestly, it's amazing.
Yeah, we're not even a year old. We launched 7-7 last year.
Right. I forget, because we were originally going to launch, what, in June, then, yeah, so not even a year.
Right. I mean, we're going to have probably 75 NFL tools, brand new start sit tool, league sync, all the ADP, a ton of free and premium content. Honestly, like, you know, whether you're looking for, like, play action pass rates or 8 men in the box or elusive rates for running backs, like, all this stuff that we're always searching for and we're able to pull, like, individual numbers for, but not have easy to use data. those days are over starting very soon on FTNFantasy.com.
Yeah, just so excited for not only the season for football, but like we still have a ton of content for like anything. Like if you name a sport, we have it. I mean, you know, obviously basketball playoffs are still in effect, baseball season, tennis, you know, League of Legends with Javi. I mean, just I can't golf like John Kelly and the team at the MMA team. Like it's just every time you see a sporting event or some sort of event for betting or fantasy or DFS, somebody from FTN is covering it and covering it very well. It's insane the amount of depth we have on this team. So always appreciate bringing anybody from FTN on, especially Elliot filling in for D-Bro here to talk about some receivers. Any closing thoughts?
I mean, get as much Michael Thomas as you can in the third round. That's like my guy this year. I basically completely faded him last year, and this year I'm saying that I think that's one of the best picks of the draft.
Yeah, I'm definitely with that. Same with Keenan Allen in the third round as well. I am I'm trying to draft those two guys a lot. So tight end preview I'll have on Thursday or Friday to close out the week. And yeah, appreciate everybody listening. As always, make sure you check out FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTNBets.com. Just a ton of great stuff, ton of great audio, video, written, everything you can think of over at those three sites. We'll be back on Thursday for the tight end preview. Have a good one. Till then, this has been Fade the Chalk, and we're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.